Brother Glenn has asked that we would read from John chapter 5. We will read verses 1 through 16. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. All who are able, let's kneel together in prayer.
Greet each of you in Jesus' name, and we're going to be in John chapter 5. If you want to keep your Bible there at John chapter 5, 1 through 16, with the thought this morning, wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made whole? I think one of the biggest obstacles to many of us in really being blessed by God is that we refuse to admit that we are not whole and that we are not complete and that we do not have it all together. And it's called pride. We don't like to admit that we are the beggars that we are. This morning, the question that is going to be before each one of us, will you be made whole? Because there is one who can bring that to pass whenever we get self out of the way. We have a miracle here in John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda. This miracle of healing is only recorded by John. Of the four Gospels, it's only here in John. The other Gospels mostly record the miracles that were done in Galilee. Verse 1 here, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. This account in John 5 is in Jerusalem. A resident of Galilee, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem for to observe a feast, as all good Jews did. They were expected to do that, to keep the feast. Which feast was it? Don't know for sure. There were three major feasts. The Passover in the spring. Number two, there was Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And number three, the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. Matthew Henry seems to think that it was Passover, the most celebrated of the three. Remembering when the death angel passed over Hebrew households in Egypt, with the blood applied. Exodus chapter 12, 13 and 14, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite in the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So it could have been this one. But there also in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible says that it would be a lamb without spot, without blemish. And Jesus Christ, we know, fulfilled this type when his blood was shed on the cross of Calvary for your sin and mine and the sin of every person that ever lived. Jesus, as the Son of God, could have pleaded exemption to go into these feasts. He really could have, but as a faithful Jew and a good example to us, Jesus attends this religious assembly. He could have said, well, I don't need to go to that. But he went as an example to other people. And number two, I believe Jesus attends this feast, this assembly, because of the opportunity to do good there, because there would be multitudes of people. And he would certainly find an opportunity there to do good to mankind. A large crowd. And there would be no problem for Jesus to find some in great need. Can Jesus find needs here at Pleasant Hill this morning? He can if we open our hearts. Jesus was always open and willing and available to serve the desperate needs of humanity and is no different today. Absolutely no different today. Jesus is here once more to meet those needs that tear the human heart and threaten to destroy our very existence. Needs that no one else can meet. Brother Lynn led us in number 699. It was just by the Lord. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I have a problem. I have a need. Nobody understands. Nobody can do anything about it. I've gone here, I've gone there. But Jesus has the answer. Verses 2 to 4 of our text, and now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, he was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now I will say right at the beginning here, I have a lot of questions about this pool of Bethesda. I'm not going to have answers for you. I just admit that. That's the way it is. I don't know what all's going on here. And I don't have all the answers here either. But we read here in God's word that at Jerusalem by the sheep market, or the sheep gate through which the sheep were brought to be sold. You know, the building of it is recorded in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. It was part of the rebuilding of the wall. We read here of a pool. The Hebrew word Bethesda, meaning the house of mercy. A natural pond? I don't know. Having five porches. A roofed walkways. And try to picture this morning the wretchedness of humanity that gathers under these five porches. And some just drag themselves around. Some are leaned up crooked against some support. And they are a pathetic, suffering view of humanity. Well, there they are, under these roofed walkways around this pool of Bethesda. God provides the pool. God created the water. God provides the pool. God provides power and remedies for healing. Man, on the other hand, builds porches. Man builds hospitals. Man builds clinics. And so you put the two together. And you have God's mercy and man's charity joining forces to provide relief for disease-ridden humanity. There in verse 3, these porches around the pool were filled with a great multitude of sick people. Today, we also have many stricken with cancer, with heart disease, with diabetes, with infectious diseases. All kinds of things are assailing the human population today. You know, they had many ailments in Jesus' day. There in Israel, impotent folk, that is sick people. The blind, the halt, the lame, that is the withered, those that were paralyzed. A great multitude has gathered here at this pool of Bethesda under these five porches. What a sight of decrepit, pathetic humanity in need of a healer. Today you visit hospitals, visit rehabs, and they soon remind you how many blessings you have. And we need to do that from time to time, or we tend to forget how privileged and how blessed we are. Having heard of this place, this pool of Bethesda, some probably came a long distance. Others probably had people help them get there. And, you know, get me to the pool of Bethesda. The first one in, the water gets healed. After the water is stirred up. And with great patience, some have stayed at this pool many years. Now, we don't know that this man was here 38 years, but he was sick for 38 years. I don't know how many years he was at the pool of Bethesda. But he had this ailment for 38 years. And so there are people at this pool, maybe some are there for years, and they just never get in the quickest. They never get in first. And so they're not healed. And so they lay there and they wait for the moving of the water again. And they have to wait. And they have to suffer some more. They're waiting there in verse 3 for they're waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, the healing virtue of this pool, it was supernatural. It says, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Again, I don't have all the answers to this situation here that's only recorded by John. An angel. We are told an angel. One of God's messengers. God's servants. Friends, helpers to mankind. Maybe angels are involved in healing diseases more than we realize. If we would take it from this passage, I don't know. The moving water signaled the arrival of the angel. At a certain season, how often was that? I don't know. Whosoever then first, why just the first? Maybe to show how inadequate it was for such a great multitude of needy people compared to Jesus. Just one at a time. And then they had to wait again. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And in verse 40, he healed all that were brought to him. Not just the first one that got to him, but he healed them all, it says. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus healed a leper. And multitudes, it says. And then there in Luke chapter 5, he healed a paralyzed man. And they left the man down through the roof there in Luke chapter 5. Because they wanted to get him to Jesus. One who had love and compassion and power. Here at the pool of Bethesda, there's much I don't know. And yet it's God's word and we bring it before us this morning. Verse 5, a certain man was there at this pool of Bethesda. He had an infirmity 38 years. For 38 years, this man was suffering. That's longer than a lot. In that day, that was longer than a lot of people lived. It's longer than some people live now. But can you comprehend that? I don't know if I can. This man has an infirmity. He has a physical ailment of the body, of the flesh, for 38 years. You know, the human body can become so disabled that instead of being helpful to the soul, it becomes a burden to the soul of man. How thankful we should be for our health. But how quickly we complain. May God forgive us. 38 years, longer than some live. Do we complain in a day? Do I complain in a week or in a month? Let's be grateful and thank God for all his goodness and all his blessings to us. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Among a great multitude, Jesus sets his eyes on one man. Compassion, love, in that gaze, in those eyes, love, compassion. Jesus came to seek and to save. Jesus came to heal, to bless, to comfort. You know, in Luke's gospel, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's why Jesus came. Maybe this man was the most helpless. Maybe he had suffered the longest. I don't know. Maybe the most needy one among them all. And Jesus puts his eyes upon him. Others probably saw his case as hopeless and probably had given up on him. I don't know if any ever tried to help him get into the water, but they were always beaten, and they probably thought, well, it's no use. This man's too hard to put in there. Maybe he was too heavy. It took him too long, and they're giving up on him. Mankind's giving up on this man. This man is without hope. We're just going to let him lay here. And they're going to ignore him from now on, but Jesus takes him for his patient. When man cannot help, Jesus still can. Do you hear that this morning? When man can't help, Jesus still can. And Jesus wants to. And Jesus will. But he wants to hear that cry. He wants to hear that brokenness. He wants to hear that contriteness of spirit and humbleness. And he will lift you up. Jesus knows how long this man suffered. He knows how long you have suffered. It's comforting to know that Jesus knows all about us, isn't it? But there's one that knows all about us. He actually knows us better than we know ourselves. That's amazing, and it's comforting to realize that Jesus knows all about us and has compassion and has love and doesn't just look upon us and go away, but begs of us to throw ourselves on him. Wilt thou be made whole? I must tell Jesus. I love that, Brother Lynn. I must tell Jesus. Will you be made whole this morning? You need to ask. You might think it an odd question. I kind of do. Jesus looks on a man here that's laying at this pool of Bethesda who's been sick for 38 years, and Jesus asks him a question that you would not think needed asked. Really? Do you want to be made whole? Does that question really need asked? Isn't it obvious that this man would want that? Well, maybe, maybe not. And so Jesus asked the question. You know, some are so used to begging and depending on welfare, they don't want to change. Some are so used to living in a low level of wretchedness where sin has a chain on them that they don't really feel like looking for help to get up higher. And so Jesus asked a very important question. Will you be made whole? Is it something that you really desire? Or are you complacent? Are you lazy? And are you satisfied to just live in the dirt and grime of society and filthiness of sin and wretchedness? People get in a rut. People actually get comfortable and complacent in the middle of misery. And so Jesus asked a very important question. It wasn't like he was asking a question that was ridiculous or didn't need asked. He asked, will you be made whole? Because it needed asked, because it needed answered. People lose touch with reality. They are that miserable or maybe in sin that many years, physically and spiritually. You know, we have all these physical healings. Jesus healed those that were blind, and he healed those that were lame, and he brought people back from the dead. But what was even more important, Jesus always was reaching into their soul, and he wanted to heal them from within. Yes, he also healed the physical, but even far more important, he was healing men's souls. Will you be made whole? The sick man needs to desire healing. He must want it. And it must be wanted today. Spiritually crippled, blind, deaf, diseased people must desire to be made whole. Jesus has power and love and compassion to heal people's physical infirmities, but far more important, Jesus has power and love to heal people of spiritual sickness. Will you be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, you just asked me if I'll be made whole. Well, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I have not a man. How revealing is that? I do want made whole. But the method of getting whole is getting in this water before anybody else does, and they're all the time beating me to it. And I don't have a man that'll get me in there fast enough so that I can be the one. I need a man. I need someone to help me. Second Corinthians chapter 12, 9 to 10. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, while I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Christ helps those who cast themselves upon him. He does not help the proud. The Bible says God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And he lifts the humble up. He revives those there in Isaiah 57. He revives those that are those that are humble and contrite. He promises to revive that group of people. Christ helps those who cast themselves upon him in brokenness, in humility. Verse 8 of our text, Jesus saith unto him. Notice he doesn't say here in verse 8, get up and go in that water. After all, that's where everybody else got their healing, when they went in that water. But Jesus, isn't that odd? I mean, Jesus doesn't say, well, I'm going to help you, or I'm going to command you. One way or another, we're going to get you in that water. Well, you know what? Jesus seems to have forgotten about the water. He seems to have forgotten about the pool of Bethesda. You know, when Jesus is present, do we need a pool of Bethesda? What do we need when Jesus is with us? And so he tells him here, he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Isn't that amazing? Person after person got healed by getting into that pool of Bethesda at the troubling of the water. And now Jesus ignores the water, the pool, and says, just rise up, take up thy bed and walk. The man was probably, he was hoping that someone would offer to stay with him to help him in the water the next time the water moved. But now this paralyzed man is speaking to the Creator. God in the flesh is standing before him, the one who created man, the one who created land and water, the one who created this pool of Bethesda, the water that's in it. He's standing now before, he's lying now before the great physician, the healer. And verse 9 says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I believe the man had to answer the command to rise. I believe he had to answer the command to rise, take up thy bed and walk. He needed to answer that. He needed to answer the question, will you be made whole? He needed to answer it all. The lost sinner is also commanded to believe and act. Arise. Arise this morning. Take up thy spiritual bed and walk spiritually. Walk in the Spirit and turn away from the flesh forever. Do it by the power of God. Arise and walk and turn. That is, repent and live and become a new person in Christ. This man here in John chapter 5, he did not rise and walk in his own strength, but he did it in the power of Christ. Jesus did not say, go, get up and go into the water. He only told him to rise and walk. Jesus does for sinners today what the law could never do and what that pool of Bethesda could never do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So what the pool could not do, what the law could not do, Jesus did and does and will do today. The lost sinner today can become a new person in Christ. Jesus set the pool of Bethesda aside. It no longer important because he was there. He spoke a word of healing. He spoke a word of deliverance. And Jesus does the same for the poor lost sinner today who cannot save theirself. When a sinner cries for mercy, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus heals the sin-sick soul. Verse 10 of our text, the Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured. It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. What do you think you're doing? Such pathetic religion. Such disgusting religion that makes God want to vomit. No heart for man. No heart for God. All they're worried about is their own petty little laws. God's no more impressed today with that kind of religion. The self-righteous Jews. All they could think about was their fat self. And what mattered to them and how people looked on them. And they couldn't have other people seeing their law broke. That's just terrible. Self-righteous. Worried about themselves. Worried about what they had set up. No mercy for the person that really needs touched, that really needs help. And I would say this morning, God have mercy on the person who is concerned more about their own little ideas and roles than about saving souls. Seeing souls redeemed, seeing people become new creatures in Christ, out of their wretchedness and into the glorious newness of Christ. God have mercy when we're more concerned about the itty-bitty little bit way we do things compared to some other group. Verse 11, he answered them, he that made me whole. The same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. What better day to be healed than on the Lord's day? You religious elite that are full of self-righteousness, there's no better day than to heal someone today on your wonderful big Sabbath. Jesus heals and he saves and he touches lives every day of the week. And he might tell you to do something that requires a little muscle on the first day of the week. On the Sabbath, on the Lord's day. Verse 12, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They could have asked, who made you whole? But they weren't worried about that. They were worried about their little itty bitty law that was broken. And so they want to know, who was this man that who told you to take up your bed and walk? They ain't worried about who made him whole. Instead of rejoicing that this man's 38 years of misery were over, they still focused on finding fault with how he got whole. Verses 13 and 14, and he that was healed wist not. He did not know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. So there was sin involved in this situation. You know, in other cases in Scripture, it was not. But here it was. Guarantee it was. Because Jesus says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. What's that remind you of? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, the woman taken in adultery. At the end of that passage, Jesus said in verse 11, no man, Lord. Jesus said, who are your accusers? And hath no man condemned thee? And Jesus says back, she says, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. God saves, and he also gives power to not live under that bondage of sin anymore. That doesn't mean we're not going to still fail. And we do not jump in and out of salvation when we slip and fall. But it does mean that God offers the power and the strength and the freedom to no longer be in shackles, no longer be tied down by sin and burdened down that we can't even live our Christian life half like it ought to be. And so God saves, and he also gives power to live above sin. In other words, God saves, he justifies us, and he gives us power to live above sin. He sanctifies us. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Jesus makes people whole. from within and without, from inside out, starting with the soul. Jesus makes people whole. He makes them complete. And don't forget, no soul is satisfied until Jesus is allowed to touch, heal, and make whole. Will you be made whole? Do you have something to tell Jesus this morning as we sang that hymn? I must tell Jesus.
Thought was very valid when he mentioned, wilt thou be made whole? And you notice when the man was told to take up his bed and walk, where he ends up? He ends up at the temple. I think he got the message of what Jesus was referring to. And then, of course, Jesus says, sin no more. As Glenn said, he doesn't tell this guy to wash in the water, but you'll find in John chapter 9, there's a man blind from birth, and Jesus clearly said he had not sinned, and yet he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I think that's really interesting. Let's stand for a word of prayer.